Here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Dave Haxtell, the head coach down in Seattle, and no one saw this coming. I'd never heard his name come up. And yet there's going to be some pressure. I mean, O just said this a moment ago, Ray, with what happened in Vegas, whether it's legitimate or not, people are going to bring up the comparison. He's probably got to get the team rocking pretty early on.
Yes and no. I mean, like, the pressure so is from guys like us, or
more or
you know,
less.
But it's not from it's not from ownership, right? It's not from, like, they understand they're a first year, or will understand they're a first year team, and will understand that what Seattle did was remarkable, incredible. And I keep going back to all that BS that when, you know, as Vegas was doing really well and getting into the playoffs and they're winning a round and winning their second round, people started writing at that point, man, they got too much advantage from the league. They got too many good players, because nobody said that when they picked the team. Like, when they picked the expansion team, guys, we can go back and read, there was zip on they got too many good players. They didn't. It didn't happen. William Karlsson had no goals in Columbus, and then he got 40. Like, who saw that coming? So I think there's pressure to be a good, to be a good competitive team in the first year. They're not going to get Alex Tuch on that trade. But you know what they're going to get, I think, are teams that are jammed against the cap. Jammed. And they're going to have to trade players they don't want to trade that make $4 million. And Vegas or Seattle's going to be able to populate their team, if they choose, with that player, plus getting a second-round draft pick. I still think there's going to be a way they carve into teams' rosters that teams don't want to lose.
Yeah, I think it's likely somewhere in between what Vegas did and what Ottawa did, and San Jose did, in Columbus, in Minnesota, with all the respect, Noodles.
Well, but yeah. Hayes, Noodles and I were on those teams. We had no players. The league basically said, thanks for the $50 million, which is what the teams were paying at the time. You're going to get a bunch of rec league players. Like, that's how Minnesota ended up with Noodles, and that's how Atlanta got me. You get nothing.
Right. Yeah, so somewhere in between seems
we were cast-offs.
Yeah, maybe leaning closer to Vegas, if you're going to put it that way. Leaning.
Yeah. Right, I think they're going to, because they're going to spend, Noodles, you guys' payroll was, ours was $17 million.
Well,
in Atlanta.
I'll never forget, we were at the end of the year. It was right after the trade deadline, and I was sitting, I think, next to Fred Flintstone, Sean O'Donnell on the bench. And he said, would you look at what's going on the ice? And we were playing Colorado. Our payroll, I think, was at $11 million. We had cut down. And Colorado had like $45 million on the ice on the power play. And they were zipping. It was Sakic and Forsberg and Blake. And they were, and Waugh was in net. It was crazy. And he was just laughing. He's like, I hope we get out of this alive. Like, he, as he was jumping over the boards to go and kill a penalty. Like that, that's how it was. By the end of the year, they had cut payroll and that. Like, we were 15 to 20 million, I think. And I was like north of a million. I was a part of that. It was just crazy.
Well, you know what's going to be interesting too, Noodles, is like, and guys, is that we just saw in hiring Dave Haxtell, trying to get information, the insiders, from Ron Francis, is like trying to get information from Lou Lamoriello. Like, nothing. Zip.
Yep.
Like, this morning, they were all hunting around, still trying to find out, because they knew it wasn't talking. But they couldn't, you know, we eliminate this guy, we eliminate that guy. Haxtell still wasn't on the radar. So trying to predict between now and then what that roster is going to look like is going to be almost impossible. Like, we're going to see who's available, and then there's going to be a deal, and a guy that you don't think is available is going to end up in Seattle. I think that's going to happen pretty frequently, and I think they're going to get some legit free agents that are going to be able to be offered an eight-year deal that other teams can't. Like, they can go, if you think Dougie Hamilton's good, and I do, you can offer him 8 years. Other teams can't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Ray, what did you make of Crosscheck Gate last night? Noodles thinks Kucherov is gutless.
I did Hayes not say that at
Hayes
all.
Thinks it was a No, I'm just kidding. But there was we
a
had
caller. No. A caller thinks that.
A caller not called noodles. In and said no, Kucherov no. needs more padding on his ribs. And Hazy B thinks Mayfield is a menace. Where do you stand?
I think Mayfield had two cross-checking penalties that neither got called. I don't know how they don't get called. I'll tell you what I would... Okay, so I'll get to Kucherov in a second. You know when he cross-checked Stamkos and he hit his face on the glass? And
he
got
had his
cut?
Nostril hairs resting on the dasher.
And the referee apparently said there was nothing malicious about it. So now the officials are determining whether it's malicious or not. So
whoever
I
said
around,
that's a donkey, man. Like, you just set yourself up
well,
for
that. Stamkos said in the press conference after that they didn't say anything, or they said it wasn't malicious. So wouldn't you just go around slashing guys and smiling and say, see, it's not malicious?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell are these guys doing? I don't want anybody to... I don't want people to lose their job, but Chris Lee's 2 feet from both of these plays. Like, what's he doing?
Right.
Like, whatever happened with Kucherov, whether he's going to play game 7 or not, that's a whole other story. How could that not be a cross-checking penalty? Mm-hmm. How could the Stamkos play not be a penalty? But I don't think there's a, not only have they lost the plot on officiating, I don't think they even know what the story is. Right now, like that Islanders were awesome. It was an awesome comeback, but that stuff's ridiculous, and the league looks like they're clueless right now.
I should probably defend what I was saying, or at least clarify, because I did not say. I said I agree that was a penalty. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. Like, that was a penalty, and I thought that Mayfield took a liberty and gave the old like complimentary here. Take this with you as you skate up the ice. So that's a penalty, and it's right in front of Chris Lee. But where I have a problem is the narrative where people say, well, that's a plug on a star player. It shouldn't matter. A penalty is a penalty, and the players, when you put your jersey on, it doesn't matter if you make $10 million or you make $1 million and you're a stay-at-home defenseman or you're a star player. You can't ref the game according to the jersey number. You have to ref the game on what the infraction is. That was my point.
Yeah, so it's not like before the season starts that each player gets handed a different rule book based on your skill level, right? You all get the same book. Like Mayfield, if Kucherov would have cross-checked Mayfield like that, I would be saying the same thing. It's a penalty. They even talk about when you extend your arms, that's a cross-checking penalty. When his arms were extended as far as they could go, like how could that not be a penalty?
It is.
I hate that it's this big of a story, guys. I really do, because the story should be what an unbelievable goal to tie the game, and then the madness when they score, and that building, like, it's going to fall over, the building. Like, it's going to fall over. It was awesome to see that.
Well, and that's what we were talking about earlier. I don't know if it's a conundrum as much as it's just a reality of the sport, the way that it's played. It's a physical sport. You go on the ice, you could get hit. You're skating around with weapons in your hands, or it can be weaponized, the stick. And Mayfield was the story of the night because of the goal and because of him knocking out Kucherov, because of, you know, the Stamkos cross-check that went uncalled. And if you're the Islanders, you're not apologizing for anything, nor should you. No one should expect that you would. But if you're Tampa, you're freaking out. And if you're the league, there's nothing you can do. Like, you can't change the rule book. The rules are what they are. But if you're being completely objective, you're sitting there saying, Kucherov, this is a superstar that people want to watch who may not be able to play because a guy took a liberty on him. And
right. It
sucks. But there's not much more depth to it than that.
But players do get hurt, and there's times that there is a Game 7 and a star guy isn't playing. If Kucherov can't play Game 7, how does that benefit the league on an unpenalized play?
It doesn't.
Like, how does that benefit the league? It doesn't. And so they can say whatever they want. If the guys running the league think that's a good thing, they need to be changed. Like, seriously, if they think that's good for the game, they're living in 1974. It's time to change. Like, it's not good for the game.
That was caller Hayes' opinion as well, because he's saying, like, the league is, you're selling star players, you're selling, you know, a product, all of that. I guess my point, and it came off, I think it came off maybe a little bit more barbaric than it wanted to be, is like, there's no shame in being a stay-at-home defenseman who protects the net. You know, I love those guys. It's just, if you call the rule book, Mayfield is treated the same way as Kucherov. That's my point. Mayfield should be sitting in the box. Kucherov, if he's healthy or whatever, should be trying to score a goal on that point. But, like, I just hate the narrative. It's like, well, it's a plug. The plugs are getting the, like, no, there's a player out there who's got a different role than a goal scorer. He should be afforded the same rule book as a star player. The star players don't wear different jerseys out there.
Yeah.
Well, and to further your point, or to agree with it, Noodle, to another level, is that when they say, oh, you know, like, the league doesn't protect their stars. In a certain case, in a certain way, they don't. But I think respect should be afforded to everybody. In my mind, when you start differentiating stars to not stars, now you're telling officials to have their own rating system about who gets the break and who doesn't get the break. To me, if you, I say this all the time, redefine what the hell a penalty is. If it's a cross-checking penalty and Crosby cross-checks, Scott Mayfield, well, then it's a penalty. And if Mayfield cross-checks Sidney Crosby, or in this case Kucherov, it's a penalty. Mayfield's just doing what he does. Man, if most fans saw Scott Mayfield skating around the ice by himself, they'd be like, oh my God, that guy's amazing. Which would tell you how amazing the NHL is, like how hard it is, how skilled even the guys that aren't qualified or aren't categorized as skill players, how good they are. Like, you don't know. You just don't know because how great the top end of the league is. Mayfield doesn't deserve more or less protection. He should have had two penalties last night, and he scored an unbelievable goal to tie the game.
Yeah, and now he's going to Tampa with his team, and it's tied at 3, and it's a coin flip, and we'll see what happens. And we'll cross that bridge tomorrow, because we got a game 6 tonight in Montreal. Oof. And it sounds as if Robin Leonard's going back in, and we had a discussion on this earlier, right? As a player, like, if you're Vegas, if you're Mark Stone, Pacioretty, Carlson, does it have any effect on you, your mentality, your thought process, the fact that it's going Leonard, Fleury, Leonard over the course of 3 games?
What should matter to them is 0-0-0.
And that's what they...
Yeah, they don't score.
Like,
they haven't done
seriously,
anything.
Like, the goalies aren't the story. I mean, it is cool, and it's a big story, but the goalies have... I mean, Fleury screwed up the one game by passing it off his own foot. And it turned out terrible for them. But the goalies aren't the story. The story is they can't score. So all those guys, they can worry about the goalie if they want. And my directive would be, as a coach, guys, like, you need to worry about yourself. We need you to score. We need you to create. That stuff, don't worry about it. They're not going to help us. Leonard's not helping you on the power play. So don't worry about him stopping the puck. We need you to score. We need to get 3 tonight. Because they can't do that even. Not in this series.
Well, and you look at Carey Price. John Liu tweeted this out earlier this afternoon. Price's numbers in an elimination game these playoffs, he's 4-0 with a 1.86 goals against and a .936 save percentage. So that's what you're looking at tonight. You know, like we discussed that yesterday. He played well in Game 5, but he didn't really have to do that much.
Steal it.
He didn't steal it by any means. He was just a part of the program. And this is what I think would scare me if I'm DeBoer and company tonight, is maybe you do start cooking a little bit. That's fine, man. You got to get inside the house, which is very difficult with this Montreal system and the Montreal Defense Corps. And then once you're in, you've got to beat a guy who has been a borderline brick wall throughout his career, let alone these playoffs, you know, the biggest moments. So even if they start getting some odd man rushes tonight, who's to say Price just doesn't shut the door and it's completely irrelevant and it's too little too late?
Would anybody have guessed Montreal would be one win away from the finals without Carey Price being far and away the Conn Smythe Trophy winner. I wouldn't have. Like, I would have thought that it's not possible unless he's juggling knives back there. I wouldn't have thought it's possible. Like, he's been really good, but he hasn't been like Patrick Waugh of 93 or 86 when their teams were not great teams. I lost to them both times, and Patrick was by far the best player in the playoffs. Like, it wasn't even close. Price has been terrific, but he hasn't had to be that.
Well, they allow four shots a game.
They've been giving him support. That's the thing. I talked about this systematic play. Like, Dano's on a mission, and it's almost like once he gets the puck, he'll just cycle it. He wants to shut people down. That Paul Byron guy was on the waivers how many times this year?
Three
times. Like, he's but these guys like Lekkonen, who's a really good checker and a really fast skater. That's the one thing that I was thinking about this morning too, guys, is everyone said, you know, they say like the skill at the bottom of the roster. The one thing that has changed in the National Hockey League, I would argue, in the last 15 years is goaltending. Obviously, goaltending's continued to get better. But the bottom of the roster, you're not seeing big guys who are physical that can't skate. It is a mobile league. So even on Vegas, that William Carrier, he can fly. Like that fourth line in Vegas, like they can move. So if you can't score, you better be good at back checking and checking and limiting time and space. And that's what's happened in Montreal is those guys who aren't putting it in the back of the net, they're making sure they're not getting scored on.
When the league opened up the rules, you know, the first time, and they were calling all the hooking and holding, and there was going to be more space. And I think everybody felt there was going to be way more offense, and there was early. The one thing I know I missed that I didn't understand was that I thought the speed was going to be great for offense. I didn't realize the speed was going to be a killer of offense because the guys just have no time. The guys have no space. Even when there's less hooking and holding, they've got no space to go anywhere because all these guys that maybe can't score or don't score, they fly. And so you got the puck, you've got a chance to make a play, and here comes some guy that weighs 200 pounds just smoking down the ice and, you know, back pressure like crazy. That, it's all gone. So it gets tougher to score the faster the game gets. I didn't see that. I didn't see that happening, and it's clearly a factor.
I think Marian Hossa was kind of one of the first guys where he was skating, and I was like, where the hell is that guy going? And he that guy backchecked like I've never seen, and he was kind of, not that nobody backchecked before, but he was one of the guys that would bust his ass down, and he would bust his ass even harder on the way back, and it was like everybody was like, watch Marian Hossa do it. If he can do it, you can do it, and then all of a sudden everybody started doing it.
Man, thankfully, I was retired by then because that was a game unfamiliar to me.
Shoot, I was like,
the left D, water skiing.
No, the left D, it would usually be some stiff that had no interest in joining the play. And I was like, as long as that guy doesn't get up the ice, I am quite comfortable just wheeling around with him. Because that guy's not doing anything. I got my guy.
Brad Marsh, snowshoeing up the
feather,
ice.
Just anyone. Like, just not doing anything. Just some mutant left-handed shot that's not joining the play.
He had no second wave of attack. No interest. No.
It's so true.
You had your guy in the video room the next morning. You could circle yourself and say, hi, guy, I got him. It's all good. I'm beneath the puck, or
wasn't
beneath
that,
the guy.
Wasn't that what it was, though? The guy would try and get up the ice, and you just hook your stick in and catch a ride with him?
But like, you know what, like, he would do skiing? Once a game? He would, to keep you on your toes, Noodles, he would act like he'd be sliding down the back door once a game just to say, can I get away with it? You'd take two strides, and he would stop and go back to the blue line.
the other thing, it was in the neutral zone. If that guy would take a step or two, you just, like, get the hook on him and give him a little tug, and he'd go, nah. It's like you wouldn't even think just stop.
The equivalent of an emergency break. Yeah, a little bit of a hook was the equivalent of an emergency break. I'm not. I can't go through it. I just can't fight it. It doesn't happen. Yeah. The end is here. All right, buddy. Well, enjoy the game tonight. We'll break it down tomorrow at 5.
You betcha. Have a good one, boys. See ya.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Don't be nervous having your trade-in appraised. Maple Toyota makes it easy, offering the maximum value for your vehicle. Get your no-obligation appraisal today at MapleToyota.com.